Welcome to Mature Allure, where we highlight the experiences and perspectives of women in midlife. I'm your host, Sherry O, and today we have Jana Rose of Professional Cuddles. Hi, Jana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you today?
Great, great. I'm so excited to have you and so excited that you're here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Professional Cuddles.
Well, let's see. My name is Jana Rose. I'm a multimedia artist as well, and I own an awesome company called Professional Cuddles. Both of the things that I do are all about following my highest excitement, both for my own fulfillment in my life, but also to serve as an example to inspire others to explore the same possibilities.
Nice. Well, tell us, awesome. Give us some insight into your business, Professional Cuddles.
Where to start? I could spend all day talking about this work. And since COVID, it's actually really picked up and kind of dominated my experience in the last few years, just because I think the lockdowns and a lot of the separation and isolation that event created made people even more aware of, you know, our need for a connection and social, just that component of life that's so vital, and touch is a big part of that. So what's the way I would describe it? Really, my work tends to revolve around needs literacy, learning to understand and connect with our needs, our emotions, relational wellness, connection, and how to have healthy human interpersonal relationships. And we really explore that through the powerful vehicle of human touch, compassionate, loving, safe touch, well-boundaried, and but it's an intimate experience, and we really all do need that. So
yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. So tell us about your services.
Well, we've got a website that has an online client questionnaire, which is kind of our initial intake process. It gives you a chance to learn a little bit about what we do, and also gives us an opportunity to educate you. And then we offer a free half-hour first meeting, which just gives people the chance to kind of check out my space, check out me, realize I'm a real person and this is a real thing. So there's a really nice process that we use to kind of introduce people into this experience. It's kind of new, kind of leading edge, kind of a little taboo for a lot of folks. So we really take that into consideration and offer a really gentle introduction, providing a lot of extra information and resources so that once people are ready to try their first cuddle session, they're feeling kind of good about it or a little more open to it. And so what that looks like in an actual session, you know, I've got this cozy environment. We're in my office right now. I've got three different spaces. I've got kind of a meeting space with a sofa that's comfortable. We've got a couple different cuddle spots, one that's more well-lit and bright. Another spot I call the cuddle cave that's darker, a little more of a sensory deprivation experience. But there's usually low lighting, soft music playing in the background. It's an environment where we really practice non-judgment to create that sense of safety. We really base each session on each client's needs and where they are. So there are some cases where, like, for example, I'll do virtual sessions, and that's more about emotional support. Sometimes I joke and call myself an emotional support human, kind of like they have the emotional support animals. So we can work virtually, but most people come in for a physical session one-on-one. And we really do a lot of communicating up front, a lot of checking in. A lot of times I'll ask, how are you feeling? What are you needing? And it's not uncommon where I get a, I don't know. I'm not really used to thinking about myself. And so it gives us that opportunity to connect in your connect with yourself at a deeper level. And, you know, there have been sessions in person that, you know, sometimes we don't even have that physical contact right away. And we just spend time building our relationship, getting to know one another. Maybe if they're comfortable with it and they're, you know, touching on some sensitive subjects, I'll ask if they'll let me hold their hand. Even something as simple as that can be really profoundly comforting when you're revisiting certain things that were challenging, or you might be in a crisis. Say you're going through a divorce, health issues, job loss, you know, grieving the loss of a loved one. I'm really there to provide any form of support, nourishment, and kind of helping people learn how to meet their needs. Generally, sessions end up becoming, I describe it a lot as you're coming to visit your best friend, and that's what people tend to feel like. You really do build a real relationship in what I do. You can't really be close and connected and vulnerable with a person like this over time and not bond. So we really do build lasting, long-term relationship. And that's what it's all about, is really practicing that and learning how to get into that rhythm together. So most sessions eventually settle into a combination of diving in, laying out together, wrapping each other up, sharing about life, checking in with your day, and what I call drifting, which is where you're wrapped up together and that oxytocin starts to produce in your bloodstream and that relaxation moves in and you just start to melt together. And it's a really amazing experience, and there's so many health benefits that come with this. There's a lot of research and a lot of studies out there already about, the power of touch and how it helps support our healthy nervous system and our biology all around. But there's going to be a lot more, I predict, that we're going to learn about the value and the benefit and the need for this. But yeah, sessions really vary. And more than anything, we really, like I say, focus on safety being a big part of that, non-judgment, demonstrating vulnerability mutually. That's a big thing that I bring into sessions. And it's one way we're very different from conventional psychology or counseling in a clinical field, where there's usually a lot more, I don't know if I'd say stoicism, but something along that line where, there's not a lot of mutual sharing and opening up. And most of us could use a lot of support with relational healing in terms of relational trauma. I think that's kind of the core wounding we're all carrying to some extent. And it's kind of hard to repair that when we're not actively engaging in a healthy relational dynamic with somebody. So we really embrace that here. If somebody wants to come in and just lay out and melt and get all gooey and relax and not say a word and maybe drool and drift off, that's an option. But if you want to unpack deeper things and do a deeper dive, that's absolutely an option here too. And that's where the coaching comes in as well.
I was gonna say, you mentioned earlier where people will actually come in, they like want to figure out if this is a real thing. Because I know when I heard about it, I was like, oh, this is a thing. What, so the audience knows and understands, it's basically the bottom line is the connection and the touch of another human being, right? So that could be in any form, whether, like you said, holding the hand or however you want to do it. How did you, let's start here. How did you decide to move into this kind of coaching? Because I know you have your business offers one-on-one coaching and group, but just in general, how did you get into this type of coaching?
Yeah, this is a common question. Thanks for asking. And I love to share this story because when I first heard about this as a concept and that it was a thing, I was super judgy. I didn't get it right away. And if I'm really honest now, looking back, and this was 8 years ago about roughly, if I'm really being honest, I was intimidated by it. I was threatened by it. And I was even, I would say, I wish I had the courage that the people did that I was watching on this news story talking about it. I wish I shared their courage to go after meeting their needs in the way they were. I thought it was very brave, but at first I felt a little threatened. I was a product of our culture, our cultural conditioning, where that's strange. I remember having thoughts of how desperate does someone have to be to pay for a hug, and thinking a lot of kind of critical and judgmental thoughts. And I like to share that because I think that it's not uncommon for most of us to have some form of apprehension when we're first introduced to something like this, that normally we just, it's something we share with our most intimate people. And it's a very vulnerable thing. And then making it kind of this more public or accessible thing can feel kind of daunting and scary. So I remember hearing about 8 years ago, like I say, about this as a thing. And had my little judgments, had my reservations, had my deep down envy of these people at the same time who were really going after taking care of themselves in a radical way. And I kind of blew it off as a passing trend, some new hippie fad that wasn't going to last, and went on with my life. And then about a year later, I found myself in a relationship with someone who was pretty physically and emotionally unavailable. And that was costing me a lot. And I was really pretty depleted. And I remember waking up one morning feeling pretty miserable and starved for touch and connection. And, my emotional needs were not being met. And I was really feeling the effects of that. And the discomfort of that state is what actually really pushed and propelled me to, out of curiosity, just maybe explore and see if that whole cuddling thing was still going on. And I checked it out, and to my surprise, it was still happening and it was still a thing out in the world. And not only that, it had grown. And that really perked my ears up. And I finally started to realize, maybe I should look into this a little bit more. And I'm so thankful to that partner at that time, because without them, I wouldn't have been so uncomfortable to be emboldened to really go after it and look into it. And I tend to be a voracious researcher. So once I got going, I really started digging in, and so many bells and whistles were going off in terms of, my life's work in so many ways seemed to be kind of building me up to this point and preparing me. I'd already been, self-employed for many years. I previously worked as a professional dance instructor, where you work one-on-one with people and build relationships. And there's a lot of movement and touch and contact. And there were a lot of interesting parallels. And it finally dawned on me doing this research that I think I might do a pretty good job offering this as a service, and I should explore it. And so I started dipping my toe in, at the same time still skeptical and not expecting really much of anything to come of it, or to get, a few sketchy messages in my inbox, or, and sometimes that happens, but usually you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that show up that really get what this is, and it's amazing. But once again, to my surprise, I was wrong, and it's changed my life, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. And here we are today, 7 years later. Yeah.
Like you said, there are people who get what it is. I found out about you from another Mature Alert podcast guest.
Yes.
Right? And so the thing is, when we were talking about it, I was like, okay, this does make sense to me. I wasn't judgmental about it. I was curious, because there are a lot of people out there that have not been in any kind of relationship that's kind of closed, or they can share something with someone for a substantial amount of time. So when we were talking about it, I was like, oh, this might be really good to talk about, or to make people aware about. So let's talk about the type of coaching. Because again, I mentioned you have one-on-one coaching and group.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little overview of each?
Totally. So my primary focus and the deepest work we tend to do is usually the one-on-one. It's just the creme de la creme, the juicy goodness. But like I said, I've been doing this over 7 years now. And I treat every single experience like a study. So I'm constantly evolving and growing and, looking for where's the need and how can we hold space for that, respond to it, cater to that. And so it started with the one-on-one sessions, but then I noticed, I'm working with these people and they're talking about, I wish I had, other guys to talk to where I can open up and it's safer. And, if I've said some of these things to my buddies, I'd, be laughed out of town. And I'm processing and realizing, that I'm working with this incredible community of people one-on-one in these isolated situations. And we're all learning and growing and healing together and practicing our way into really healthy relational dynamics, but we're doing it on a little island together. And part of relational wellness really is community and tribe. And so I started to just realize we need to connect some of these dots here. And that's where a lot of the community-driven events kind of started. And I've been doing that for several years now in a variety of ways. It just kind of was a natural evolution. But I offer social outings. So everything from just, I have a group called Fun with Friends, yay. The idea it's just to get us all together, is to give people an opportunity to, you know, as adults, find a group of friends that are generally healthy and, you know, or working on themselves and self-aware, and we just go do fun stuff, whether we go and take over a movie theater and have a movie party. We've gone to art exhibits. We'll go out and grab dinner. There's even events that we have here called cuddle parties, and those actually started in New York. And those are really neat. I would call them more a communication and consent workshop. Sometimes we'll go out to dinner beforehand and then crash a cuddle party. And then there's also educational workshops that I offer. And these are really near and dear to my heart because they deliver really potent education that I really wish and believe, you know, we need to start very early in our child's lifetimes to educate about these things, like emotional processing workshops, again, needs literacy and how the needs and emotions are interconnected. Basically, when we feel good feelings as a result of our needs being satiated and met, when we feel not so good feelings, that's connected to unmet needs. And just even understanding basic principles like this can lead us to such a wealth of understanding about ourselves and each other, again, broadening and deepening connections with each other, which we really all crave, I think. And we're in quite a crisis of social poverty in our culture in a lot of ways. So these workshops really feel potent and really effective at addressing some of these deficiencies in our culture. And I am planning to eventually offer some online resources. I'm currently working on some exciting projects to build and share a lot more content. So it's going to be accessible and much of it free around the world, just because it's that valuable to me.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just for people, because just so people won't think, oh, wow, we, you know, anybody can just show up and cuddle with one another and all of those things. What are the safety, or what do you kind of, what are the rules and regulations that you adhere to, and then anyone who comes in, a potential client, that they must adhere to?
Yeah, totally. And that's such an important question. And I appreciate it. Thank you. And that's something we talk a lot about in this industry. And we're talking about a little more in the broader scheme of things, too. And consent is a word that's been a big buzzword lately, which is a good thing. So how do we create that safety? How do we create this environment that, you know, we're walking out of it not traumatized, but actually feeling better? There's a lot of different things that we explore and do, but we have an agreement and waiver that basically outlines the parameters, the boundaries, the expectations. So with consent, there's a lot of talk about consent, but what goes with consent is requests, and boundaries. So requests, consent, and boundaries are kind of a holy trinity in a sense to create safety. So you got to know what you want and what you need, or have some idea in order to make that request, because we're here to meet needs ultimately. But then understanding that, you know, we want to honor each other. We want to have mutual respect. And you got to have that by, you know, boundaries, understanding what are my boundaries? What am I comfortable with? What am I not? So self-awareness plays a pretty big role in that.
Yeah.
And that's an ongoing journey, right? You don't always know what you want or what you don't want. So we hold a lot of space for that to develop. But our agreement and waiver sets basic outlines and parameters. Obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but generally so far, a lot of people, when they first hear about what we do, their minds can kind of go to more of a sexual kind of space. Mm-hmm. And so we acknowledge that. And there's no shame. There's nothing wrong with that. We celebrate the experience of all of our human needs. But, you know, just like I'm not a restaurant serving tuna fish sandwiches, I am also not here to help people with their sexual needs, though I would love to support them in finding resources for that. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the first things we start our agreement waiver out with, is this is not a sexual experience. It is a platonic experience. There is intimacy and there is love, but it's not a sexual or romantic or erotic nature. So we're very clear on that. And that's kind of our first out of the gates. We start by lining that up. And then we have things, you know, that discuss, you know, what do I wear in a cuddle session? Minimum clothing would be something like workout shorts and a tank top. Sometimes people have asked, you know, can I wear less? And the answer is an emphatic no. Just like if you wouldn't go out in public with it, you don't want to be wearing it here. So just holding those types of boundaries. Another one that we have is there's no kissing of any kind on a session. Even innocent pecks on the head or cheeks. Some people might have a little, you know, more flexibility there, but I tend to like to really keep those boundaries held really clear. You know, I work with some folks that, you know, may have had a history of sexual abuse and or they have sexual addiction or hypersexual, you know, patterns of behavior, which often can suggest there's a history of some unhealthy experiences around sexuality. And so it's, I always have that in the back of my mind as well in this space. You know, they need an example of someone who's going to hold very safe and grounded and stable, non-sexual touch, and love. And that's been powerfully healing for a lot of people I work with. So just reinforces and lets us know that we're really on the right track by holding these boundaries. And of course we have, you know, the waiver portion where, you know, if we ever felt it wasn't a good fit for someone, or if we ever felt unsafe for any reason, we do reserve the right to terminate a session. Fortunately, I've never had to do that. Mm-hmm. In the 7 years I've done this, it really is low risk. But you want to come in and be really well boundaried. So that's really the core key. But then to make it a beneficial experience, to expand beyond just the boundaries, understand your needs and learn to advocate for them. And then we're going to have a really great experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, how have you seen, you give examples of results with clients that you've noticed how this, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's my favorite question so far. That's my favorite part of what I do. Like, it's just, Hi, I'm Jana. I'm a healing person who's been enjoying and benefiting from this experience myself, so I can share my own testimony. One of my mottos is that we're really healing and learning and growing together. And that's what makes this so unique and so powerful. A lot of times I'll tell people, you know, I'm not going to be hovering over you with my clipboard, you know, not showing any reaction whatsoever or engagement, and just taking notes while you're opening up and being vulnerable. I'm down in the trenches with you, holding your hand, humaning through this experience and process with you. And it's my highest joy. It's my highest excitement. I feel my purpose in being here in this world. And I'm healing with them right along the way. So some of the results, oh gosh, it's such an honor to witness other people's results, but I'll share starting with mine. You know, when I first started doing this, I just wanted to hug people and be close and have a mutual exchange of meeting that need for physical touch and comfort. Mm-hmm. And about a year in, I started to realize, first of all, I'm healing. Things in me are shifting. I'll share with a partner that I was in a relationship with at the time and feeling pretty miserable and neglected with. There was a lot of... I was very fixated on my neglected sexual needs personally, and I was almost just ruminating on it. It's almost like when something's taken away, you think about it that much more. And I noticed, to my surprise, after cuddling with my clients in that platonic safe space, that obsession, that fixation, that craving that I was ruminating on from it being kind of out of my life, started really settling and calming down. And it's where I started to really realize for us, a lot of us, sex and sexuality, it really underneath it, it's all about connection and intimacy and that safety. And I was accessing that just in the platonic cuddle session. So that was a really amazing thing to observe and take note of. It's been profoundly helpful for nervous system regulation. Mm-hmm. I am a highly sensitive person. I used to struggle with crippling anxiety, especially social anxiety. There's many things, many resources I've gathered over the years of my various struggles and journeys. And so I'm coming into this work with a lot of different resources, but man, cuddling and physical touch is a very, very powerful and instantaneous way to help us co-regulate our nervous systems. We're really evolved to utilize touch in that way, you know, and we don't necessarily have to cognitively understand it, but a hug feels good for a reason. You know, yeah. I say things feel good and bring relief for a reason. There's something going on with our biology. So that's been really helpful for me. And oh my goodness, has it led to Just it's unlocked so many layers and levels of deeper learning. So like I say, when I first started doing this, I was focused on the touch and the hugs and the connection, the emotional comfort and support of that experience, and then sharing and giving that and exchanging. But now I'm studying, you know, neuroplasticity and early childhood brain development and subconscious. Do you know the subconscious drives up to 97% of our behavior?
Wow.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. So in here, we're healing trauma in a real way. We're challenging a lot of the mainstream clinical helping fields out there that are really only offering people maybe watered down coping strategies. Mm-hmm. And this work has led me to the core of my own trauma and work in healing. And then through that avenue has allowed me to go deeper and study and then bring more and more resource to my clients. And so we're actively tapping into our subconscious. We're exploring inner child work and really what does that mean? And what does that look like? What does a reparenting practice even look like when you never had that properly modeled to you? Mm-hmm. And so we're going in and we're, you know, this, the experience of the touch and the safety that we're creating, it's a powerful catalyst that unlocks deeper things. So a lot of repressed emotions can come up. If you think about, maybe a little kid who's getting bullied or in an abusive situation and there's really not safety around and they're in the war zone and shrapnel's flying, they can't really afford to process their fear or their grief or, you know, let some tears out and feel that fear. They're in survival mode. They're in a hypervigilant state. And imagine if we were that kid, or imagine watching a kid and they finally get out of that space and they're rescued and they're brought into the loving arms of maybe a grandmother or just someone that feels truly safe. And you can feel that on a visceral level, and they wrap you up in a warm blanket. That's when that's going to start to show up. That's when the emotions are going to be able to come out. And so we've kind of just naturally grown into that. And most people who do what I do are learning the same thing. So a lot of us end up going into exploring trauma work and what does that look like, or somatic therapies, which are very body-based and that emotional connection dynamic. So we're very much in a lot of ways leading edge. There's been a lot of studies about, you know, talking people through processes, helping them practice like polyvagal toning exercises, but there's not been compassionate, loving touch where the practitioner is getting in there and wrapping these people up and actually, like I say, getting in the trenches with them. And that is such a profound key to healing. And so we're actively healing trauma. We're taking people who might be severely triggered and hyper-reactive to everything and or many things and living a very small, limited life. And we're helping educate them and support them through emotional processing. What does it actually look like to feel your feelings? Emotion means to move, energy and motion. If we're seizing up and repressing it and stuffing it down and not understanding how to move it through us, we're going to be in for a world of hurt in a bunch of different ways. And so we're helping them learn how to process and digest their emotional energy so that they can actually be liberated and free of these longstanding triggers or blockages or fears that never got fully addressed, completed, processed, resolved. So people are living bigger lives. They're having, enjoying a greater state of capacity so we can handle, you know, more stuff, living bigger, being more visible out in the world, and learning again how to have those healthy human connections. Yeah, it's just, I could talk all day about it. It's really pretty amazing.
well, you know, just listening to you made me think about it. It was either on social media, probably, or a commercial where people were on the street asking individuals, can I give you a hug? And initially people were like, what? But then they were like, no, it's just, do you need a hug? And people gave in. There were people that gave in and did the hugging. And you could see how emotional it was for those people who were getting the hugs, the ones who got the hugs, you can see how emotional, because I do, like you said, the power of touch, the power of wrapping yourself up with someone, which I'm always harassing my husband when it comes to hugs. I'm there's a feeling, there's a security, a safety, all of those things. So when someone comes to you for this service, let's just say they're a little nervous, not sure what to expect. How can you give the audience kind of a, what you do to kind of put them at ease?
Yeah. Thank you. And that actually I have to touch on, because there's a flip side of it as well, where early on in this work, a lot of people would ask, well, aren't you afraid? How do you vet? I'm here often, at night, and there's...
going to get there.
Well, these go hand in hand, really. So when I first started doing this, I was very cautious. We're meeting in a public place, and we're going to feel each other out and make sure it's safe. But, 7 years in, I know what this is. I know how it works. I don't need to... I'm good. This is really all about now helping people to feel safe coming in. So... Yeah, it's kind of funny. And on that note, too, when people would ask, do you ever feel in danger, or, like it's risky? And I'm like, actually, you know what, in all reality, as I really processed that and realized, a few years in, I'm like, not only do I not feel in danger in my work, I feel safer here than I do anywhere in the world, partly because of what I've created. I'm in charge here. I structure this. I'm in command of my energy, myself, and my environment, and how I do this. But even more so, when you become a source of loving, consistent, stable, loving connection, friendship, family, we're family in a big way here, you become the most valuable resource in person to each other. Like when I'm working with people, and I feel protected by my clients, I feel loved by my clients. And so this is probably the safest place in the world for me. So that's just a fun thing I like to throw in there. So that being said, really important for people that are new and, who are living in that guarded state of kind of constant fight or flight, as you're talking about, there's so many examples and videos out there now, which is awesome. That kind of showcase that, when you're in that war zone, you're guarded, you're stoic, you're just getting through the day. But when you're shown that safety, and when you feel that safety, and you're held, and that's such a big way to create that feeling, you melt, you crumble, things start to move. But that's a lot of vulnerability. So how do we create that environment here to invite people in? Well, I have a saying that I love. Well, it's not my saying, it's by Anne Lamott, but I absolutely adore her. And I have a piece of art that actually says it right behind us here. It says, lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining. And I love that. And so a big part of what I do, I know who I am. I know what I'm here to do. I know what I'm here to offer. And I work on just radiating that out first and foremost through my website and through the different posts that I put out on social media. Social media has been so good, by the way. Like, it gives your clients the opportunity to kind of get to know you before coming in. And so I just work on representing who I authentically am and putting out there what I believe in, and what I value. And I show some vulnerability, I show some nakedness, and that's the most powerful form of creating safety that I know of, is really demonstrating my own truth and my own vulnerability. It's very disarming, and it creates kind of a dynamic where other people want to reciprocate that. And so that's a very powerful way that we create safety as well. But the website that I've created, it holds a clarity of what we're doing here. There's not really a lot to read between the lines. We keep it simple. We keep it user-friendly. I try to really pay attention to the common concerns and address those in our frequently asked questions. Again, the things that we have, like our online questionnaire, it allows people to share a little about themselves, but then again, there's some education in there as well, where they get to look at our agreement and waiver. For a lot of folks, that creates a lot of safety, but that's also a vetting There's also some vetting by design in that as well. Okay. So people that may be looking for something else or needing something different, they're going to realize this is either a really good fit for me or I might want to try looking elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So the website really has been designed to be a good firewall and educational tool. I also have a profile page that has a photo of me so people kind of see what I look like and a little write-up, a little statement by myself. And I just try to reveal my heart in that and then also, you know, my offerings. And I trust that the right boats are going to be drawn in and they're going to feel that resonance. Of course, we also have that free half-hour first meeting as well. And I always tell people when they get here for those, I'm like, congratulations, you've done the hardest part. You've gotten in my front door. It gets better and easier from here. And they really leave. You can feel a shift. They really leave feeling the relief of this really is safe. I think that's the fear for all of us is like, is this really safe? And so my job is to make sure I'm embodying that to the best of my ability for them to feel that on a neuroceptive level. So the subconscious is picking up on a lot of stuff and I'm aware of that. So a lot of different details.
But well, after safety, because we know that, like you said, that's a main thing where people are a little apprehensive. Once they've kind of, their guard has been let down, what's the next thing that kind of maybe keeps them a little stiff? And, you know, I'm thinking in terms of myself, like, I'm a guarded person. I tend to be. Yep. So like, what is the next thing that you find that people are kind of little, that what do you do to kind of get through that? I know that's a weird question.
No,
but
I really love that question because we're going deeper beyond the surface. And what you're asking is what a lot of people are probably going to be feeling and experiencing too. So there's one really simple thing that I throw out there. And I always say, if you feel comfortable enough, you know, obviously there's a lot of checking in and communicating. I'm not like, I'm like, welcome to professional cuddles, get on the bed. But we're not actually going to throw you in like that either. So we really kind of gauge your comfort level. And there's some communicating up front too, where I ask about, you know, your history in terms of cuddling or touch, whether, you know, all the way back when you were a kid or while you were dating or with your own kids, what do you tend to love? What do you tend to gravitate to or feel nurtured by? And also, is there anything you're not a big fan of? So we have a little discussion there. And I just, a lot of times people are like, I don't know, I never thought about it. So part of the reason I will ask that too, is just to get them kind of thinking about that. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll make some discoveries then. But if people feel comfortable enough and they're open to it, I do recommend laying out right away. If not, they'll let me sit next to them and hold their hand, like we say. And the reason why I recommend some form of contact as soon as possible is because it helps to melt that extra barrier or wall simply by tapping into our biological responses. So I tell people, even if you want to stay nervous or tense, your biology is not going to let you. Once we start the touch, oxytocin starts to be released, serotonin, dopamine, endorphins, these really feel-good hormones. And they counter cortisol and adrenaline. And again, your nervous system naturally is going to start to co-regulate. You may not, after the first hour of our time together, be revealing your entire life story and crying. And, you know, often people do, though. You'd be surprised. But you will leave. I don't think I've worked with a single person who hasn't left more relaxed. The needle will move within the first few minutes often. There's a relief that washes over the body. And that's just our natural biology coming in to help us out. And it helps to rewire stuff so that we can, again, we can open up these channels for connection a little more easily. And also identify, you know, what does a healthy environment and situation look like, where it would be safe to do that? And how can I discern where and when to open up in those ways? And this is definitely an environment I really work to make it model as a very safe example of that. And our biology really helps us out. But I also really am, I would say I'm intuitive in my work. There's an intuitive component. Borrowing off of my own past hypervigilance and hyperattunement from trauma, I've now transmuted that into a kind of a superpower in this space as well. So I'm able to pick up on subtleties and shifts, even in body temperature, breathing, perspiration. And these give me clues and signs to how someone's doing. And then I interact in ways that would be supportive of that. So if I feel maybe someone's not very grounded, a lot of times I'll just place a hand here. And just that contact can help to shift people and settle. You notice in my voice, as I'm even talking about this work, my voice is shifting into more of a parasympathetic state. It's softer. The vocal cords are very connected to our parasympathetic state. And that is, I should explain, that's our rest and digest and safe nervous system branch. So there's our fight or flight. That's our sympathetic. And then the parasympathetic is the I'm safe and I can settle and relax. So my vocal cords really are a reflection of that too. So how I speak, how I breathe, how I regulate my own nervous system mindfully. I'm doing a lot of subconscious work here with people. And I kind of jokingly say this, but there's truth to it. I'm a master manipulator for good. So
that's always a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just mindful of what we need and how to create that space. And, my number one goal and priority is to create authentic, real connection with people and to share that with them. So, yeah.
So do you find that, and this just might be my crazy thinking, people go from, you got to graduate from one-on-one to coaching to maybe group. Like, is group a little different, or do people come in and they just go straight to group? Or how does that?
That's a great question. That's a great question, and it really varies a lot. The trends that I notice are that most people prefer the one-on-one. It's the juicy, like I say, creme de la creme, and it's easier to feel safe in that environment because there's just simply less components, less moving parts, less different energies to counteract. And again, I'm incredibly mindful about how I engage with people, and there's a lot of conscientiousness and thoughtfulness. And so a lot of the folks at group are, they're working their way toward that, but they still might be, struggling with different things. And it's a little bit more of a wild card for people in general, to walk into a room full of people as opposed to visiting a comforting, safe, quiet environment with one person that you have a bond. But some people come in and they're extroverts and they're like, I need some clubs. I need some groups. I need some stuff to do. And they'll just jump right in. Sometimes we'll have people that I've never even met, but we just publicly advertise and we're like, oh, hey, great. Welcome. So we really hold space for a variety. But generally, the one-on-one time, this is my gift that I'm here to give to people. And I don't normally even say things like that, but I know that what we're doing one-on-one is really juicy and good. And so that does tend to be the most popular. People are getting that undivided, loving attention and presence and constructive, teamwork with me. And that's the best. And that's honestly my personal favorite too. But you do need, and I need too, some aspect of that tribe. Some aspect of that communal. So sometimes people, will work one-on-one with me for a while and, I'll encourage them, well, I really think you could benefit from our men's group because there's some really gentle men there. Maybe there's, a client that I've worked with who's been hurt by a man, and they need, or they had maybe abusive father. And so part of the groups that I put together is to expose people to healthy examples of other people that could, or I say, you're doing amazing in your work. I'm really proud of you. I think you need to share some of yourself with other people too. So, but we really kind of, adapt and ebb and flow right now. I just this last year did a major study in different groups and events, and I'm kind of processing all of that and then reconfiguring how I want to approach things moving forward. But it's an ongoing study, as everything is for me. But yeah, it tends to vary generally, but the one-on-one time is I'd say that probably the highest value for most people. And then we pepper in some group stuff here and there as needed.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to ask, as we wrap this up, what message does Jenna Rose have for women in midlife who are going through transitions, or just what message, overall message, and how this could benefit them? You've said we've covered a lot,
yeah,
but for those that just want to narrow it down to
to focus in, that's good, because that's a pretty broad subject we could explore.
Yeah.
I like that. I appreciate that. I want to take a minute with it. You know, for especially in the beginning of my work, the majority of my clients were male, for a variety of reasons that that maybe another interview.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that might have choked me up a little bit. I wasn't really expecting.
Bless ya. Now that being said, as I've grown in this work, more females have been coming in, and that has been such a gift to me to do my own work with my own mother wound and how I interact with these amazing women who have been through incredible things and survived and kept their hearts intact. And I work with people of all ages, you know, women, men, gender fluid, transitioning, gender, all of the above. 18 or older, if you'll sign my waiver, welcome. But women, working with women, I want to zero in on that work in particular, because that's been actually especially healing for me as well. I've just turned 40 this past January, so I'm entering in, I guess, the midlife stage, even though.
You're a baby midlifer.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I've been doing so much inner child work. I still feel like this little 5-year-old in so many ways, but a 5-year-old and a wise old lady live inside of me, and they get along well. But a message for women, whether they're caught in a stage that I am, or I'm less about age and I'm more about where are you in your life right now. And I think that just for women in general, maybe I'm going to share what I've got, and then wherever it applies, take it, and wherever it doesn't, leave it. But I'm going to share from my experience. So as a 40-year-old woman now, just in the last couple of years even, I have been tapping into deeper healing work than I ever have in my life. And I think that, you know, if you're keeping on things, we're kind of mindful of healing throughout our lives, because we all really need that. But there's different stages and layers that we can get to. And I'm finding that, first of all, I love aging, and I think it's a beautiful process. In fact, there's a message in there as well. And I'm a huge advocate for this, the societal's idea of women and aging has always felt so screwy and backwards to me. When I was a kid, I looked forward to being 30 and 50, and now I look forward to 60. I've heard that like the most productive years of a person's life are in their 60s, and I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to grow up. So there's a whole note there. And but the aging process has been beautiful for me, and I really, I would say, what has made it so far so beautiful and exciting is the healing work that I've committed myself to, and peeling back those layers and allowing myself to constantly go deeper. And what starts out as maybe a crisis and a really uncomfortable process eventually evolves into something that feels more like sport or a game, or as you empower yourself and gain new skills, and have the courage to confront the scary, big, scary monster that maybe is actually a little fluffy kitten behind a door. But if you have the courage to look and to reach for anything that's feeling better, any way to find relief in your life, to write permission slips to do you, to do what truly feels good, to notice what feels good and give yourself permission to honor that for yourself, and to keep reaching for that deeper healing, deeper exploration, and take good care of your health. Health ain't no joke. And if you get too casual with that, I think that's probably the biggest thing that I hear folks talking about is, you know, when I share, oh, I love getting older, I feel like I just keep getting better and improving and leveling up. And you know, my anxiety is so much better. I'm so much more empowered. I'm so much more capable. I'm living bigger. I'm more resourced. I'm more educated, more confident. And they're like, yeah, but my bones hurt. Okay,
yes.
You're right. If your body starts falling apart, that does make it harder. So I have a resource library on my website that has a lot of resources that I really personally believe in. I've put them through my own test. I'm very scrutinizing of what I share with my babies. there's resources on there, including my guru that I follow for health and wellness, just in terms of eating clean, detoxing, which plays a big role in mental and emotional wellness, Anthony William Medical Medium. Big, big fan of his work. He's healed me profoundly physically. Take care of your health and just keep focusing on the level up. Like right now, I'm 40 years old, but I don't think of it as I'm in midlife, my clock is ticking. I'm focusing on, wow, this is awesome to be on the top of this mountain and look at all the other mountains I've got. Mm-hmm. So stay excited about learning, stay excited about your development. I always say you're not dead yet, so keep going, keep reaching for your dreams.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of things that we get in our heads about, you know, oh, I'm this age, I can't do that, I'm too old. And I'm like, you're not dead yet, go do it, start it. There's so many incredible people who've done incredible things at all stages of life. So yeah, take good care of your health so you can go and do all that stuff until you're get ready to ship off.
Okay. Well, this has been great, Jana. Thank you so much. Your website is wonderful, by the way.
Oh,
so,
thank you. Appreciate
yeah, it's wonderful. When I went there, I was able to really understand a lot about the process and what you do and all. So your website
right.
is spot on. Right. So if you could share that with everyone and how they can contact you, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for your feedback. I always love when I hear that. And I'm always working to make it a little better, too, as we evolve. But we've got our website, professionalcuddles.com. We've got an Instagram account, Professional Cuddles, across the board. I like to keep it simple and clear. Not too many other professional cuddles out there. We've just started a TikTok account. We're diving in, and I'm going to make a little short ADHD friendly content there. We've got a Rumble video account, YouTube. These are all new, so stay tuned on those for new content and new resources. And we do have a Facebook page and group as well. So we're very findable, very discoverable, and you know, always feel free to reach out to me. We've got a contact form on the homepage of the website. Welcome to come out for a first meeting. They're free, no strings attached, just for us to connect and have a chat.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Thank you for being a guest, Jana. To everyone, this is Jana Rose of Professional Cuddles. Hope to have her back to talk about when you go online so that.
With our content?
That would be great. Yeah.
I would love that.
Online, you have a website, but online for your content and the program that you offer.
Yeah.
So, and the offerings themselves. So again, I thank you for being here. This has been great.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been great to chat with you.
You're listening to the Mature Allura podcast. I'm your host, Sherry O. If you have a topic in mind that you'd like us to cover on Mature Allura, drop us a note in the comments or share it with us on one of our social media channels. Until the next time, remember, self-love is the key to unlocking the radiant allure that shines from within.